The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Amen. And he has ascended too, to the right hand of the Father, which we will be celebrating this Thursday at 6:30 at our Ascension Day Divine Service. There is the commercial plug. Look for coupons so you can get in for free. Because the gospel is always for free. God does not charge. At least he does not charge us. Because you know what? If he did, we would pull out our wallets and a moth or two would fly out. Because we could not possibly pay God for his free gift of salvation. We could maybe pull out a credit card, but the credit card would be maxed out. And we would owe an incredible debt to God that could not possibly be paid. And yet the debt has been paid, but not by you, not by me, but by another. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God who came down from heaven for a purpose. He came down from heaven for you, to rescue you from sin and death and hell, to deliver you from bondage to the devil, to make you God's own dear beloved child in Christ. And that's not just for this world. It was just for this world. Who cares? Because life in this world is so very short. Passes by in an instant. One day we're in high school, going out for the first time in the car after we got our driver's license. The next day, we're rolling a wheelchair down the nursing home hallway. But the salvation that Christ brings is eternal. The life he gives is eternal. And that is our hope. That is why we are here this day, this sixth Sunday of Easter, to celebrate the fact that not merely did Christ come down from heaven, but he was raised again in the flesh after he died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. And he has ascended to the right hand of God. And there he looks after his people. There he looks after his church. There he looks after you as one of his own dear beloved children. Listen to this portion of the Word of God from Isaiah chapter 55 and apply this to the Word made flesh who came down from heaven for you and who has returned to heaven. You know what? Trailing in his wake are all the redeemed saints of God. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Thus writes Isaiah the prophet. The Son of God came down from heaven for you. That's about the third time I've said that in this sermon, so you know, maybe it'll lodge. He came down from heaven not to make you wealthy in earthly things, for God is the giver of all good gifts. He gives even to those who do not believe. He gives to Muslims. He gives to atheists. They have food. They have drink. They have a place to live. We're talking about the gifts of God in the gospel here that Jesus came down from heaven to bestow upon you. We're talking about Christ himself and the word of Christ that it is our privilege to hear this day, to reflect upon, to confess with our mouths, to sing in the hymns. God's word that comes from him does not return to him empty, but it accomplishes that which God purposes, and it succeeds in the thing for which God sent his word. Listen to these words of Jesus. I come from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. Say, mission accomplished. His work here is done. He has died for sin. He has been raised again. He is ascending to the right hand of God. His work here is done. But not yet. There is still work to be done, and it is Jesus who is the worker of that work. Yes, he sits at the right hand of God in both his divine and human nature, but he is still present among us today in a marvelous, miraculous way to accomplish his purposes for you and for me. You know the routine, you know the ropes, you know the lingo, you know the speech. It's good you know these things, and it's good to hear them again. That though we cannot see our Lord with our earthly eyes, we behold him with the eyes of faith. We behold him as he is present among us through the word of the gospel, through the water of our baptism, in the very absolution that as your pastor I spoke to you. You know, it's not my word. I'm just a wretched old sinner myself. As if God himself, as if Christ our dear Lord himself spoke from heaven, absolving you of your sins. Because you need that absolution. I do too. Christ is present among us today, accomplishing his gracious purposes in the sacrament of the altar. It may look like just a bit of bread and a sip of wine, or if you're drinking from the common cup, you know, you can take two sips if you want to. But it is so much more than that, because beneath the bread and wine are Christ's body and blood. Not as a novelty, not as a work of prestidigitation, but as a gift for you, for your salvation. So his work, his gracious saving work, can be accomplished among us and for you as we follow our Lord through this world and to heaven. The glories of heaven. I come from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. I have said these things to you in figures of speech, but the hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, Jesus says, but will tell you plainly about the Father. And the disciples think, that day has come. Ah! Now, at last, you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things, and you do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. What the disciples are doing there is giving themselves a little pat on the back. They do not understand. They do not yet know understanding will come later, after the Lord bestows His Holy Spirit upon the church, after He instructs them for 40 days following His resurrection, just as we have been instructed these 40 days of Easter leading up to the festival of the Ascension on Thursday. The disciples think they've got it, and that is always a temptation for Lutherans to think they got it because they've been through confirmation. They've been sitting in the pews for 50 years or more. But you know what? If you think you got it, you ain't got it. And you're still stumbling around in the dark. You see, we get it only through the grace of God, through the continual hearing of His word and the receiving of His gifts of the gospel. Disciples were cocky, but Jesus nails them. He deflates their balloon with one pointed prick of a pen. "Do you now believe?" He says. "Let's see about that. Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone." Because in a very short while, after Jesus spoke these words, Gethsemane, Judas, arrest, trial, torture, agony, death. And where were the disciples in all this? They were scattered, each to their own home, and they left Jesus alone. We can let ourselves be scattered too. We can go our own way. We can try to live in our own homes and think we've got God good and comfortable and cozy there. And who needs God's house? Who needs the Christ who is proclaimed in that house? Who needs the Christ who bestows upon us His saving word and the sacrament of His body and blood? We do that when we think we got it, when we ain't got it. "Blessed are the poor in spirit," Jesus says, "for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied," or you can more accurately translate it, "they shall be gorged to the gills." Blessed are those who know they ain't got it, but Jesus has got it, and He gives it to them through the gospel. This Jesus, who accomplished the work of our salvation apart from His disciples, He did not lean upon any man. He trusted in His Father in heaven. The disciples abandoned Him. And yet Jesus says, "I am not alone, for the Father is with me." The Father who sent me into this world. The Father who gave me the ministry I have accomplished of saving sinners. The Father is with me. Even when He forsakes me on the cross, He is with me, for I am doing His will, Jesus says. And here's the clincher, or what's going to be the clincher. "I have said these things to you," you plural, "that in me," you plural, "may have peace. In the world, you plural, will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Think of the church as a you plural, or us, we, the body of believers. Jesus speaks these things to us in our day, that in Him we may have peace, the peace that passeth all understanding, peace with God. Jesus tells us that in this world, we, Collectively, the church will have tribulation. We will have trouble. It is to be expected. It is the norm. We live in a fallen world that has rejected God. We ourselves are fallen creatures with a sinful nature that rejects God. In this world, we will have tribulation. Consider the tribulation, the affliction, the sufferings, the troubles, the afflictions, the persecutions the apostles endured following the day of Pentecost when they proclaimed Christ crucified and resurrected in the power of the Spirit. And yet they were able to boldly face those persecutions, those tribulations, those afflictions in the power of the resurrected and ascended one. So it is with us too, as a congregation. We are no stranger to tribulation. We are no stranger to trouble here in this congregation. Guess what? It's every congregation that endures trouble and affliction. You individually are no stranger to trouble or affliction. You're probably enduring it now. If not, you've only recently ceased enduring it, or guess what? You're getting ready to head into the storm. But the word of Christ stands true for us. I have said these things to you that in me, in my word, in my gospel, in my sacraments, which is the only way to be in Jesus, in me you may have peace. In the world, contrasted to Christ, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And that brings us back to that passage from Isaiah. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So Christ lived the righteous life on our behalf. He died as the atonement for our sins. He was raised again. He has ascended to the right hand of God. He has bestowed gifts upon the church to accomplish God's saving purposes in our midst for you and for me. Rejoice in that. It is as good as done. As far as God's concerned, it is done. We're still playing our role in the congregation, in our life, in the play. We're still speaking the lines. But one day, one blessed, glorious day, we shall ascend to the Father. We shall be in heaven. We shall experience glory for the sake of Jesus, our Savior, the one in whom we have peace in the midst of tribulation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior.